Welcome to the Regen Nation podcast, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us back here. I am solo this week, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm solo this week, and I've tried it out a few months ago, and it worked out fine. So I didn't want to annoy any of my colleagues or any of my friends or, inconvenience them. So I'm rocking this solo. So bear with me. I've got the chat down here. I will do my best to keep an eye on it and go through it as we start talking. If you have any questions or any comments, interact with me down in the chat if you're watching live. If you're watching this or you're listening to this on an audio podcast in the car or afterwards, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for clicking on it and giving me your time and listening. But it is always best to do it live if you can. I mean, it's best for me because in terms of interaction and everything. But if you can't, I get it. We live busy lives, and it's one of those things that it's either in your Spotify playlist or your Apple Podcast playlist or Google, because we're all on all those. And in your car, it's if you have none of those streaming services in your car, it's under TuneIn, and TuneIn comes basic with the car. So you can listen to me there. I mean, if you're listening to me already, I shouldn't have to tell you because you already know you're listening. So it's one of those things. But thanks for tuning in. Welcome to the podcast. We've got a jam-packed podcast for you guys tonight with a lot of topics. I'm going to try to run through, because I am by myself, we won't have the back and forth with my normal guests that I have. So the show should go faster. Like I said, anyone in the comments down below or in the chat, comment down below if you want to get a discussion going. AS says started on time. It's got to be a record. Yeah, it definitely is a record. I'll tell you that. Our first topic, let's just get right into this. By the way, if you have any, like I said to you, if you have any questions, but if you're listening to this after the fact in one of those streaming audio podcasts like I was mentioning, if you have any questions for me and you want to ask me or any of my guests that come on, shoot me an email. I mean, that's the basic way to do it. Yeah, I mean, you can catch me on any of the social media things, DM me or PM me on Facebook under Bailey MC or Twitter. It's a new, you look for Regen Channel or Regen Nation on Twitter and you'll find me and just DM me there. But if you just want to do the old fashioned email way, nothing wrong with that. You can do that by the new email address is questions@theregenchannel.com. It's that easy. questions@theregenchannel.com. And without any more delays and everything, I got all the housekeeping out of the way. We can start off with the first topic. And let me see if I can show this on screen here, like I usually do. Okay. The first topic, if I've got the right one here, I believe I do. Let me just scroll down. Yeah. It's we'll start with this because it's one of the latest breaking news, I guess you could say. The first V4 Tesla supercharger is... I was going to say install up to yesterday when I was researching everything. I was going to say it's installed. But then as of today, when I woke up, it's actually up and running. So Tesla or whoever it is in Norway flipped the switch real quick. Yeah, this is in Norway, in the Netherlands. It's in a particular place called, and if you're watching at home, I'll show you a picture on the screen that I'm showing. It's the V4. So they're taller. I think they're taller. They look taller. Or maybe it's just an illusion. They're not hollow. They don't have that hollow insides like the traditional V2s and V3s or, the superchargers that we're so accustomed to, the red and white ones. This one is red, white, and more black than ever before. I don't think we are, other than the wand and the cable, we never had any black in it before. And there's obviously a lot of pluses with this, but one of the big pluses now that Tesla is starting to open up in North America to non-EVs is the cable is longer. And where is it? Let me go down here. Let me find out exactly. It says the Netherlands. I forget the name of the town or city. And it's in Harderwijk. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Harderwijk. That's the town or that's the city where it's in. I don't know why Tesla decided. I'm sure they did their research and everything. I'm sure they figured out this is the best place. And I mean, of course, Norway is the mecca of EVs. So why not start it if you're going to start anywhere in Europe or even anywhere in the world? Why not start there? I mean, I know some people would argue California to start where they're homegrown type of thing, but they decided to start there with the V4s. And on early, I mean, they're assuming nobody knows before, when this was just a rumor and everything. We were assuming because V3s go up to 250 kilowatts, so everyone was assuming, you know, this got to do at least 300 to 350, maybe even more in terms of peak speeds. But let me just go, because like I said, now that it's actually up and running, let me see if I can find the one. Nope, that's not it. Sorry, bear with me. See what happens when you do this by yourself. I think this one is it. Nope, that's the same one that was before. Okay, I've got so many tabs open here. That's the problem. I apologize, folks. Okay, so this one should be it. It's basically the first impressions and the details. This information, this article, as for all of our articles tonight, are coming from Drive Tesla Canada. So in case I forget to credit where this source or where this information or news is coming from, it's coming from Drive Tesla Canada. Where else would it come from? I mean, I know there's lots of publications and lots of news sites and stuff ahead, but it's Drive Tesla Canada. That's where we get most of our information, and it's most reliable. So first impressions, as we scroll down here, there is was a guy on Twitter, Stephen Bink, at S Bink, I think this is his Twitter handle. He's got a 2018 Model S 100D, and he's the one that shared some images on Twitter and stuff like that, and gave us his take on it. He estimates the length of the cable to be about 3 meters, which is about 10 feet in length. If for all you Imperial people that don't know what meters are, it's about 10 feet. So, I mean, I don't know what the other, this like the V2 and the V3, what their cable length is. If I had to guess, I'd say like maybe 5, 6 feet. So this sounds like it's almost double. Even if it's 7 feet, it's still a good increase compared to what the older ones were. So hoping when those come here, and even in Europe and all around the world, that and it's opened up to non-EVs, hopefully that solves the one problem that we see so far with the 10 magic dock stations around the US, where, you know, we saw Marquez Brownlee, we saw other videos. What was the other video we saw? There's a bunch of videos where we saw people testing it out on different non-Tesla chargers or cars. And yeah, it actually works very, very, it's very tight, and these ones should work a lot better. I think I might have said before non-EVs. I meant non-Tesla EVs. So it's a big difference if you missed that word, non-Tesla EVs, as opposed to ICE cars. I wouldn't think they would work good there. Also, right now, in from this Stephen Bink guy, he says he's been able to get about 250, so no increase in terms of speed compared to V3. Now, in the article here, Darren goes on to say that that's very common to know that they're. This is the very first one. It's day one. Tesla's rolling it out. They're probably doing a soft rollout and a you know a small test. So they're going to flip the switch, but it would only make sense if they don't flip the switch and give everything it's got. So this is very likely, or at least a lot of people are hoping that it's throttled back, and it's just like because it's testing everything out. It's the testing stages. You know, Tesla. Tesla likes to test, just like some other things. To the public, like they don't do internal tests. They'd rather, I mean, I'm sure they do, but they'd rather test it in the real world. And you know, some people may not like that, but some people don't care. Like me, I don't care. We're all, you know, big boys and girls. We can make a decision for ourselves whether we want to do it or not. Nobody needs to hold our hands. So right now, it's getting V4 is getting about 250. Right here, it says it's capable of about. This guy Steven actually did a good thing here. He looked at the back of the cabinet and looked at all the information at 615 amps at 1,000 volts. Wow. So he's, yeah, I mean, that's simple math there. If you do that math, it should be capable of 615 kilowatts. Wow. Now, I'm not, let's slow down and relax for a second, folks. Let's not get too excited. It's capable of 615. I highly doubt it'll do anything close to that. I think V3s are capable of 300 or just over 300, and they're 250. So, or they max out at 250. So don't be surprised if this is correct and it's 615 kilowatts, we see 350 to 400. I would be happy with. I would be quite shocked if we get anything over 400. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the cars that have the 800 volt architecture, they may be able to get those kind of speeds, but 400, 350 to 400. I mean, I know some cars can get 350, but above that in the fours, that would be very, very impressive. Let me just see down in the comments here if anybody's saying anything. Some guys are just talking about the semi-chargers also have the same look. Yeah, exactly. Same form factor and stuff. That's the mega charger, I think it's called. Sorry, I missed quite a bit here. So I'm going to do my best, like I said, guys, to keep up with the chat. So that's that for the V4 supercharger. It's amazing to think. It's amazing to know that it's up and running. I mean, pardon me. I might be doing this throughout the show quite a bit because I'm talking by myself and there's no break in between. So audio listeners, if you hear pauses, the stream hasn't stopped. I'm just taking a sip of water just so I don't lose my voice and dry out my throat. Okay. So like I said, to wrap up the V4, I mean, it's a good start. We're going to see what happens from here. And we're going to see the kind of speed that they can put more of these in. And of course, we're all excited. All us North American people are excited to see when it comes here first. Now, obviously, when it comes here first, just like it came to Netherlands in Europe, I think the equivalent to the Netherlands in Europe here in North America would think safe to say, I think it would be California. So don't be surprised if you see it in California first. Don't be disappointed if you're hoping to see it anywhere else. California, but you know what? Maybe even because Buffalo is where they're making it, don't be surprised if you see it in New York State first, just like the Magic Docks. So we'll wait and see what happens there. Moving on, let's see what the next topic we have here. Okay. So this is what I've been touting the whole title of the podcast. Cybertruck. Yes, Cybertruck. And you know what? Because of it, I am, let me show you guys for people that are watching at home, I am wearing my Cybertruck shirt. I'm that excited. It's, you know, every day we're getting a little bit more news, a little bit more, a little more information, a little more hints or tidbits here or there with the Cybertruck. And that just means, and I remember it with the Model 3, that was exciting times. I remember with the Y, that was exciting. And then, of course, all the gigafactories that were coming up. It's all amazing times that we live in. And the Cybertruck, it's not vaporware, folks. If any of your friends or family out there have been saying, that thing's never going to come out, it's vaporware, because I'm sure you've gotten it. I've gotten it. I've gotten it from friends and colleagues and stuff like that. No, it's actually coming, you idiots. It's coming. And it's coming. I'm not going to say fast. I mean, we all know it's been delayed. 2019 is when we all first saw it. And it's 2023. It's 3.5 years almost later. And it was supposed to come only like, what was it? It's supposed to come in 2021. So it may be doubled in terms of delay. So anyways, in this article by John Tesla Canada, Darren talks about, you know, all the details that were revealed from the investor day, the one that was on static display, and just other little tidbits that we're getting from here and there. Now, he goes and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but he goes and he talks about the dimensions. And there was one guy, Matthew Donegan Ryan, I believe his last name is. I apologize if I'm butchering it. I'm not the greatest with names. So this guy, Matthew, he's a shareholder, and apparently I think this is the same guy that has like 13 different Teslas, or has had 13 different Teslas. I mean, my buddies joke with me that I've had a lot of Teslas, but no, I don't, you know, hold a, I can't compare to that. 13 different Teslas. So he ended up talking to Tom, the production, the guy in charge of production, the Chinese guy from China that is on board with Tesla now here in North America. He's in charge of production and building all these gigafactories and stuff like that. And I think he also talked to this Matthew guy. I think he also talked to Hans. I can't remember in the article, but that's not important. Anyways, he got some information and he tweeted it out and he posted it to share with everyone. He's basically saying from their discussion, it looks like the Cybertruck, and you know, take this with a grain of salt, take this on absolute authority, however you want to take it, it's up to you. I'm just giving you the information that's been given to me from Drive Tesla Canada. They got it from a guy named Matthew. They got it from one of the Tesla sources. Who knows? That's how this world works, folks. Everything is like, you know, third hand information. So take it with a grain of salt, take it for face value, take it, you know, take it to the bank. I don't know. I don't care how you want to do it, but he says the dimensions, let's talk about the dimensions first. He says it's going to be about 5% smaller than the original prototype. And you know what? We've heard about this for probably, I think within the first year, for 6 months, Elon had tweeted out that they were considering making it 5% smaller. And then I think 3% rumor floated around for a little bit. Now, when you see these prototypes, when you see one by one, like a one-off, and then you don't see it for another 6 months in this environment and that environment, it's hard to tell if it's smaller or not. I mean, unless you were to put two Cybertrucks side by side, I don't think, have we ever had two Cybertrucks in the same room at any event? I can't remember. There may have been, and I apologize, don't quote me on that, but 5% smaller. And then down here, there's a chart how they compared to the Ford F-150 Raptor Supercrew. And the dimensions are within like an inch or two off, maybe 6 inches. I think there's one that's about 6 inches off somewhere. Let me just run through it here. No, it's 3 inches for the bed rear opening width. They're just a couple inches off. So basically it's very close to an F-150 Raptor in size. And I think the Raptor is a little, I'm sure it's taller because of the suspension and everything. But other than that, I think it's generally the same as a standard F-150, if I'm not mistaken. So that's for the dimensions. So that's good to know. I mean, it's going to be smaller. I know people had complained that it was so big, or, you know, once again, yeah, people complained. That's the world we live in. That it was so big and it wouldn't fit in garages and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. One of the biggest things. Another thing that was confirmed and that we got word of and got a visual word of, the one that was on static display at the investor day, which was a little controversial because a lot of people were disappointed. I was a little disappointed. It wasn't like the be all the end all for me, but the 6 seat configuration, how the prototype and Elon said it's going to have six seats, three in the back and three in the front, that center fold down one where it can go up and make it into a center third seat, I guess that's scrapped. And that's, we saw it in the static display there at Investor Day. And now this Matthew guy got it on good authority that, yeah, they are going to make it a five-seater and they're going to keep it as five-seater. I get it. For whatever reason, I'm guessing it's just production simplicity. If it was my guess, maybe cost reduction. But I would have loved to see the six seats. That would have been great for my family. Not that I have six members, but, you know, in the event you ever need it, it's good to have. Maybe they'll come out with it as a upgraded trim down the road. But I can see right now why they're doing it five-seater. So that disappointed a few people. And then one of the most controversial things was this Cybertruck frunk. First, we saw the front. We've never seen it open, by the way. I've never seen it open. We've seen, I think there was one image on the reveal day that they showed of it open, but it was like a very tiny image and it was far away. It was really hard to see. But so we know it's going to have a frunk. All Teslas have a good size frunk. But what everyone wanted to see is if it's going to have a frunk like the F-150 Lightning, where, and I don't know if you've ever seen that frunk on the F-150, it's lower down. It's sort of split in between the two headlights on either side, and it makes loading things in a lot easier, especially if this Cybertruck is going to be tall, even if the suspension is way down. Short people like myself, we're going to have a hard time getting stuff in and over into this enormous front of the car. So we'll wait to see. But what I'm trying to say, we'll wait to see obviously what it is in fact, but we were told, and if you look carefully on some of the images and some of the video and stuff like that, you can see seams running down the front where the headlights are and where it goes down to the bumper. It looked like it actually came down where it would actually, when the frunk opened up, it would be like the F-150 Lightning. So we were, me and I'm sure anyone else was a little excited for that. We're like, great, that's going to solve a lot of issues. That's going to be good to have. It's just a good feature, a good ergonomic feature to have. But then some people online started coming out saying, no, they can't do that because there's some law in the U.S., a highway safety law or a federal law, where you got to have the headlights. I don't quote me on this, but it's something to the effect where you have to have the headlights anchored down to the body of the car structurally. You can't have them moving around and floating manipulable, I guess, if that's a word. So that sort of quashed that idea in terms of the design of the Cybertruck, because the way the front is, those headlights seem to be in there. But and this Matthew guy first said, when he first came out, he said, yeah, no, it's not gonna have the Lightning style frunk. That's what he heard. And then a few days later, or the next day or something, he changes tune. He's like, no, sorry, I was mistaken. It actually will have it. So now we're back to, we were like, it isn't going to have it. Then it is going to have it. Then it isn't going to have it because of the headlights and the regulations, to now it is going to have it again. And the regulations haven't changed, but we'll have to wait and see what happens, because now he's saying we will have it. The regulations haven't changed. So has Tesla figured out a way to circumvent these regulations? Maybe. Have they found a way to, because if you look at the headlights on the Cybertruck, if you get a little close-up photo, it looks like the lights are recessed in from those stainless steel front body panels. So could they be in there? And when you lift up the frunk lid, that it just opens up, but the headlights stay down? I don't know. I mean, that would, when it opens up, it may look weird. I don't know. It's hard to say. And then I don't know if you guys have been, or you got the opportunity to watch in the last, I think, 24 to 48 hours. I can't remember when it came out, but I watched it just yesterday. Kim Java, she has a YouTube channel, and she has a lot of Tesla and EV stuff, oriented stuff. It used to be, if you don't know her by name, you may know, it used to be an old YouTube channel called Like Tesla. And now they've changed the name and they've named it to Kim Java. And she came on with her husband, and she brought the husband out from behind the camera once and for all. And it's good to see that he's out now. I forget his name, but he's a super guy. I met him down in California when we had the Cybertruck event. Super nice guy. Same with Kim. So it's good to see. And their on-screen chemistry just in that one episode was great. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is, in that episode, if you look at it, probably I think halfway through, they talk about the news, and they actually talk about the Cybertruck and all these changes. They didn't touch on the front too much, I don't think. But they said that they have an inside source. They couldn't. It was weird. You can tell they wanted to say something about it, but they couldn't, and they were holding back so much. But they have an inside source that basically what they said, and I'm just paraphrasing here, folks, don't quote me on this. What I took from it is how they said it is like there's stuff that's coming out on a Cybertruck that we haven't seen. Tesla has shown us, has handpicked what they've shown us, what they want us to see on some common, I think the word was common features that are right in front of us. But when the final one comes out, there'll be changes. So that made me very excited. I'm thinking, wow, really? And I could see them, you know, it was Tesla, right? I can actually see them doing that. So that would be interesting to see if they, and it'd be exciting to see if, like the wiper, for example, if, because I know even Elon didn't like that wiper. And of course, a lot of people don't like that wiper. But if that wiper is different than what we saw, because the last one we saw, obviously the one at Investor Day, everyone thinks that is as close to production as possible. And probably is. It looked a lot more refined. It looked a lot more finished. Could that be the production design? Or could that just be the one before the final one where they're holding back on us? I could so see Tesla doing that. That is typical Tesla. So that got me excited when I heard that. And you know what? Like I said, take it with a grain of salt. Take it to the bank, however you want to do it. Remember, Kim Java had they're the ones that a few months ago had revealed or leaked that one photo of a Cybertruck frame, the body in white. That's how we were able to see that it didn't have a mid-gate, or it looked like it didn't have a mid-gate, and we got to see the actual thing. And I think a lot of different YouTube channels took, just from that one picture, did a whole 15, 20-minute videos on it. Monroe Live did a whole video and talked about destruction and stuff like that. So, and that was... that was an exclusive photo that got leaked to them. So I think they have pretty good sources inside Tesla. So when they say that, I trust them. I trust them that they know what they're talking about, and I trust that they have very, very good sources. Let me get rid of this. Yeah, because that's finished. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. There's other stuff that the Cybertruck's coming out with that we haven't seen, that they talk about that we did see, but those are the two main things, is the dimensions I want to talk about, and the frunk, because those are what people want to know. Like, we haven't seen this thing yet in terms of in the flesh or dimensions. We have no idea of price. We have no idea of motors. We have no idea of design. Everything that we think we know, other than what we see there, and even what we see may not be, like I was saying, may not be it, but it's only what we think we know. There's really, you know, back in the day, Apple used to be good at keeping secrets until reveal days and announcements and launch days. But now, and as we see, everything gets leaked. And in tech, everything gets leaked. And with the internet and social media, everything gets leaked. How Tesla was able to keep the Cybertruck 4 years ago to themselves, and it never got leaked. They showed us what they wanted to show us. It never got leaked. And still, if they're holding back and it's going to look a little different, or different things are on it that we're not seeing, and they're keeping it tight to their chest, good for Tesla, because in this day and age, I can only imagine it's super, super hard to not have things leak. Who's at AS says here in the chat, he says, you'd like to see how much the passengers can see from the inside using only that one wiper, especially when it's attached to the driver's side. Yeah, and that was one of the things, that's actually the thing in the Kim Java video that they were talking about, how the wiper looked like it only did a portion of, mostly the driver's side, but only a portion of the windshield, and I guess the passenger didn't have much, the window is the windshield's so big that with that one wiper, I don't know. I mean, I know BMW, is it BMW or Mercedes? I think it's Mercedes, has this one center wiper too. They've had it for years or decades, where when it wipes, it sort of telescopes out and then retracts in and telescopes out. So it does different sections of the window in the full rotation of the wipe, and it's like programmed in there to you know, project out and then retract back in. So maybe Tesla could do that. I mean, that shouldn't be hard technology. I mean, like I said, I think it's a Mercedes has been doing it for many, many years now. I don't know how reliable that is. Maybe it always broke down. I never had a Mercedes, so I couldn't tell you. But yeah, so that's when Kim Java and her husband were talking about that. That's what led him to go off on a tangent and say, you know, what we've seen or what we've heard from our sources, we can't say right now, but hopefully we can say soon. So it was almost like the wipers sort of triggered that thought process. So will the wipers change? I can see it. I can see it. Okay, moving right along, our next topic that came in the news is, you know, by Drive Tesla Canada, Tesla's new colors. Now, this came out of the blue. I don't know, anyone in the chat there or anyone listening at home, raise your hand if you knew that this pink color was coming. Now, I don't mean the ones from Berlin, not the cherry midnight red. I'm talking about this ultra red here in North America only and only on the SNX. I mean, I never saw it coming. I woke up whatever morning it was. I was looking at my phone, having breakfast and looking at the news articles and emails. And Tesla put out an email that sent it to, I guess, all their owners. And that's how I discovered it, from the email talking about this cherry red. And it had a little, ultra red. And they had a little video about it. And that was interesting. And then they talked about the glass in the video. The new glass is thinner and less dark, but just the same UV protection. But anyways, the exciting thing, the glass is cool, but more exciting is this multi-coat red. I'm really happy for this because I didn't mind the multi-coat red, but this new ultra red, it looks a lot better. The problem with the multi-coat red, I've always thought, is in the sunshine, in the sunlight and everything, it looked great. You get overcast or at nighttime, and it just looked like a dull red to me. Like it just, it was like night and day, pardon the pun. But with this multi-coat red, they say it's a deeper red. I mean, I don't know. What does deeper mean? Like, I don't understand what it means in terms of the color topic of what deeper means. Richer, I don't know. But a lot of people are comparing it to the Mazda red. And I can tell you, that Mazda red, if Tesla, and I said this a couple of years ago, if Tesla ever needed to change the red to another closer, brighter red, I always suggested that Mazda red, like, I don't even know what that's red is called. I did own a Mazda, but it was black years and years ago. But I never owned that red Mazda color, so I couldn't tell you what it's called. There is a name for it. I remember somebody said it once, and I forget. But it looks closest to that. It's like a deeper red, but all at the same time, a brighter red. And the video that Tesla released made it look really amazing. The kilowatts, Ryan of the Kilowatts went out and took a multi-coat red Y and put it beside one of these Model X's that was in red at the Tesla factory there. And you can see a side-by-side there if you're viewing at home. And you can see there definitely is a difference in color. Now, if you were to see one driving down the road, unless you own red, I probably wouldn't know the difference unless I see them side by side. Just like I was saying about the Cybertrucks, like, you don't know what the differences are if you see one of them by themselves unless you put them side by side. So multi-coat red, not a huge talk about that. I mean, it's multi-coat red. And it's a cool color. I hope it trickles down to the 3 and the Y, and it comes up here to the Great White North, and hopefully it's not as expensive, because there in the US it's three grand. I want to say $3,000. Which, if it is $3,000 in US, that means it's $4,000 here in Canada, probably. Four? No, maybe five. Who knows? Four to five. It's gonna be, I haven't gone on the Canadian website to see what price it is, but it's going to be expensive here. But you know what? I mean, it's a nice ride, so I wouldn't blame anyone for picking that up. Moving right along. How are we doing for time? Wow, 37 minutes in. This is great when I'm speeding through everything. Of course, I'm going to lose my voice before the end of the night, but that's okay. Northern Tesla made a nice comment here, going back to the supply chain and how I talked about Apple. Usually, Apple's leaks come from the supply chain. Tesla's vertically supply chain means less leaks. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, makes sense. But in today's day and age, and trust me, I'm sure Steve Jobs and Tim Cook probably put the fear of God in everyone in terms of leaks, leaks, leaks. Since if you're an Apple follower and you've been following them for a while, since the days of the iPhone 4 when it was left in a bar, that really happened. If you ever heard of that and you thought it was a folk tale or a myth, no, it actually really did happen. I think ever since then, Apple's tightened up their security in terms of prototypes and stuff like that. But even with that, still. Leaks still happen, and but Dan is right. Supply chain is usually where the leaks come, but also it can come from supply manufacturers, from parts manufacturers, from third parties and stuff like that. I mean, it's hard to control that. I mean, yeah, I guess you could say, listen, if you leak anything out, you lose the contract, and to have a Tesla contract is very lucrative for many companies, for parts companies. It's like winning the lottery almost. Like it's a contract for life, like if you do a good job. So yeah, if you leak that out, yeah, I could see them being very fearful of that. So moving right along. Next topic. You love how if you're watching from home, you love how when I go to the next topic and I put the screen on the screen here, all it says is Drive Test Canada. You don't know what it is until you scroll down, until I scroll down. So next topic is Tesla's on track for wide release of FSB. FSD beta version 11 for this weekend. Who says that? Elon. Should we believe him? Probably not. Okay, so V11, the single stack, it came out to employees about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, and then it came out to a select few influencers. Franklin got one here. We've seen videos. If you've watched videos online, we've seen videos, and I don't know. It's mixed because I've seen some videos saying it's good. I try to avoid the videos that praise it and blow sunshine up Tesla's butt all the time, and those are, in my opinion, realistic. I try to look at the more realistic videos. Then I've seen videos that say, "No, you know what? It's one of those 2 steps back or 1 steps back." 1 step back, because you know that whole progression, 1 step back, 2 steps forward, 1 step, okay, you know what I mean. So I don't know what to believe. I mean, I know I had the privilege of trying out FSD, not the single stack one, but I guess the latest one before the single stack for 2 weeks. And it was impressive at times. I'm not gonna get into my whole review about it. It was impressive at times, but more often than not, it messed up quite a bit and made me realize, yeah, everyone that's saying that it's not ready for prime time and it's nowhere close, like some other people are, pardon me, praising it, it's not there at all. So, but the videos that have been coming out, like Chuck Cook, he's done some extensive tests, and yeah, Chuck is awesome. I think he's one of the most level-headed, neutral FSD critics. Like he'll show you the good, he'll show you the bad, he'll be very honest. And yeah, he says that it's got some good points and it's got some bad points too, right? So we'll have to wait and see. Now this one, even Elon said when I think it was, what is, let me see if Darren has it here, the number. It just says beta 11. There is a number, and because I'm not in the beta program, I don't remember the number off the top of my head. It just says beta 11. But anyways, when it first was rolled out, like I said, to those employees and those few influencers, even Elon says it'll go wider in the next dot release. So even he was knowing that there was some bugs or some improvements needed to be made or squished. And now yesterday he says V11, starting to go out, starts going wide this weekend. Now, which weekend is he in? Is he time traveled into April and the weekend is a month away? Like, we don't know what, when it comes to Elon and time frames, we have no idea what weekend he means when he says weekend. Yeah, as AS says here, this weekend means 4 months in Elon time. It is. It's almost, I know it's an old joke and I hate to, actually, no, I don't hate it because he does it to himself. So I have no problem making fun of him. But yeah, we don't know what weekend. But I'm just putting it out there as newsworthy because maybe if we're lucky and all the stars align and everything happens like it's supposed to, you guys that have FSD, you may get the single stack version 11 this weekend or start to get it. And it may take 2 weeks to roll out. So maybe some people, after people, won't get it for another week. And that's if it comes out this weekend. We'll have to wait and see. Okay, so that's all the Tesla news. And, you know, like I said, this is the new brand new Regen Nation. So we talk mainly about Tesla, but we talk about other stuff too. So this is, I mean, I'm hoping that all my listeners and all my viewers here are EV enthusiasts just like me and like all types of EVs and all types of EV news, whether it's Tesla or non-Tesla, whether it's pro-Tesla or con-Tesla. I don't know if that's a word, but you know what I mean, like against Tesla or negative against Tesla at times, where it's needed, where we don't talk FUD here. We try to give it to you straight. We'll tell you when it's good and when it's bad. When more often than not, Tesla does the right thing, that's good. We'll tell you, and I'll tell you, and I'll report it. When Tesla messes up, we'll tell you too. I mean, you can't cherry pick. At least in my opinion, you can't cherry pick. Do a lot of people do it? The Tesla evangelists? Yes, they do. But are there tons of anti-Tesla, Tesla Q fudsters out there? Yes, there are. So anyways, that's not it. Okay, what this one? Okay, this we'll go to this one, and then we'll hit that one up last. So this is the only article this weekend, and probably for a long time. If it comes from a different source and it's newsworthy, I'll bring it to you. I'm not doing it just because it's Drive Tesla Canada. It just so happens, like I said at the beginning, they seem to have one of the best information for Tesla and EVs. But this one is by a website called AIbusiness.com. And the headline of this article, and I got to thank Franklin from Other Funkery. He posted in one of our chats earlier today or yesterday, and took a read through it, and I thought it was very interesting. South by Southwest 2023 is on, or coming on. I think it's on. And Cruise CEO says self-driving cars are ready to scale. And what he's talking about is Cruise. If you guys are not familiar, Cruise is another self-driving company. So Cruise, like Super Cruise, like GM type of Cruise. So the CEO, Kyle Vogt, I think that's how, once again, I'm not good with last names, so I apologize if I butcher it, said self-driving cars are entering a scale-up phase for startups left standing. I don't know that last part starts, but basically he's saying that they're entering a scale-up phase. So he's saying that they're very, very close. But the public remains wary of driverless cars due to full self-driving crashes, which are not true driverless. So he talks about Cruise and self-driving cars, how they're on the cusp, they're on the horizon of taking off. But then he takes a jab at Tesla at the same time. And you know what? This is one of those times when they deserve it in terms of just the name alone, full self-driving. I mean, that's a whole topic we can get into and have a whole show on that in itself. But just the fact that he took a little jab, you know what? Oh, well. And then our friend Mary, you know, Mary, you did it, Mary. GM CEO Mary Barra said Cruise has solved the technical problems of driverless cars and anticipating various road situations. So she's like, yeah, we're ready. We're in. And further down in the article, said that the AAA earlier in the month released the results of a survey that where they asked the public, and I'm guessing they mean down in the U.S., they asked the public about their thoughts of autonomous self-driving cars. Let's just say that. I'm having a hard time saying that word tonight. Vehicles. 68% of them said they were quote-unquote afraid of the technology. That's risen from 2022, last year, when they did the same study, it was only 55%. So it went up 13% in a year. And the CEO was saying FSD is to blame for that because of the recent crashes. You know what? I don't know. Are they? Let me go back to my chat and ask you guys that are watching and listening. Is this CEO of Cruise correct in his assumption? Like, does Tesla deserve this wearing of negativity when it comes to FSD and the crashes? Now, keep in mind, I don't know of any. Now, this is just me, but I don't know of any crashes that was a result of FSD that has made the news. Every Tesla crash that makes the news, for one, they have to say it's a Tesla, and for two, they always assume the car was full self-driving or the car was autonomously driving or driving itself. They always assume that. But in almost every case, or if not every case, when Tesla cooperates with authorities and the full investigation is done months later or years later, it comes out to prove that the car was not at fault or the car was not on full self-driving. Yes, there was a couple deaths, and I'm not making light of it, back many years ago, I think in 18 or 19, fatal crashes, actually, that involved people that were on. Now, we didn't have full self-driving back then. It was just autopilot, and they were on autopilot. But even though the car was in autopilot, I think those investigations, the results of those investigations prove that there was driver's inattentiveness or neglect to take it off or steer out of a accident or a collision or something like that. So yes, they are to blame for the naming, and they are maybe to blame for some of the accidents, but are they the cause? Are Tesla single-handedly? Because let's face it, when the general public hears electric cars, what's the first name that comes is related to electric cars? 9 times out of 10, I haven't done a study. I'm not. Don't quote me on this, but I would bet that 9 out of 10 people, when you tell them the word electric cars, what manufacturer comes to name? It'll be Tesla. So they're very synonymous with you know, electric cars and full self-driving and stuff like that, because the news has you know, indoctrinated people and brainwashed people. I hate to say it, not to be some conspiracy guy. I'm not getting off onto that tangent. I'm not going down that road either. But the media, you know, I don't have to tell you, you guys know. Some other highlights of this article, because it was a very good article. I suggest anyone to go take a look at AIbusiness.com. And they talk about GM Cruise. There was something I wanted to say about this article, and I've forgotten about it. But basically, in a nutshell, they're saying that it's ready. Mary had also said something too. Vought said Cruise's own experience is that half of the people they surveyed that were initially skeptical about self-driving cars, but once they ridden it, 92% of them wanted to do it again. However, if some companies mislabel their system as full self-driving when it is not, quote unquote, that is a problem for all of us, he says. And you know what? He's not wrong. The name, it affects the whole industry. I going back to what I was saying, I mean, Tesla is the leader in many aspects of that, and they've got to take responsibility for that. There was something here that Mary, but so that's very good to know. 92% after they've, you know, because that 68 or that 55% from last year, these are people that just heard about it or, you know, news and stuff like that. They've never experienced it. But what Avant is saying here is once those people have tested it out and driven it, they want 92% of them. That's huge. That's over 9 in 10 people want to do it again. So, you know, they're automatically convinced. Pardon me. Oh, here's the GM connection. She had said something really funny, so I wanted to get it in here. Okay, yeah. Is this it? But Mary Barra said Cruise has quote unquote solved this problem. When people say driverless cars are a decade away, her response is quote unquote, it's not. Which, yeah, I don't think it, a decade. I'd say maybe 4 or 5 years away, but I don't know about a decade. So she's correct there. As much as Mary is out to lunch on some things, she's correct there. So that's it. I mean, I don't know if that bores you guys, but it is sort of Tesla related, but it's just EVs in general. It's the car industry in general, and how autonomous driving and autonomous vehicles will affect, like, it'll affect, like Elon says, and I believe him, it'll affect society in general, not to mention just the automotive industry. Like, it'll affect our lives. So, but that's when it's finished, matured, reliable, proven, like, you know, that kind of stuff. We'll get rid of that. Move right along to our last article. Now, our last one, I saved this one for last, and we're at 54 minutes, and, you know, if we can keep this an hour, that'd be great. So I got about 5 minutes to talk about this. This came out yesterday, and I was very excited to see this. This is non-Tesla related, but it's EV related. Kia, one of my favorite EV, I almost want to say startup, but they're not, definitely not a startup, but EV manufacturers. And I like what they've been doing. If many people might not have known, I'm sure many people might not have known, my car before my Model 3 was a Kia. And not only a regular Kia, it was an EV. That was my very first EV. It was the Kia Soul EV. And I loved it. I had it for 3 years. It was a great car. The natural progression up to the Model 3 was amazing. I mean, the Soul back then, it had a range of 110 miles, so which is about 180 kilometers. And it was pretty good. And that was summer range. In the winter, I'd probably be lucky if I could get 110, 120 kilometers, which is about 55 to 60 miles. So it went down quite a bit. But it was a great car, and I loved it. Like I said, I had it leased. I had it for 3 years, had it leased, and had up to 70, like, you know how leases have a certain maximum kilometers or mileage. I had a maximum of 72,000 kilometers on it. And on year two, when I had 1 year left in my lease, I looked down at my odometer, and I had 40,000 miles or 60,000 kilometers on it. And I had 1 year left. And I'm like, oh God, last thing you want to do, if anyone never been in a lease, last thing you want to do is hand back the manufacturer or the dealership the keys to a car that you leased, and you're over the mileage that you promised you'd stay under. And you're not going into another one of those cars. I knew I was getting the Model 3, so I knew I wasn't getting another Kia. So I was wondering, I was a little panicking, like, oh God, I got another year. I can't drive this car. I'm going to have to park this car in my driveway and take my gas car just to save on the mileage. In 2 years, I did 30,000 kilometers per year, and I've only got 12,000 left for the last year. Like, that was less than half of the driving. So I panicked. Everything worked out in the long run. I didn't have to pay anything, long story short. But anyways, that was my first EV experience, and it was related to Kia. And since then, they've had Niro, they've had the EV6, their sister company, Hyundai, which is basically the same platform, same car. and their EV platform has Ioniq and stuff like that. Very good cars. I really like where they're going out of a lot of the different OEM manufacturers. Kia, in my opinion, are really turning it up. And this EV9 was first debuted back at the LA Auto Show, I want to say 2 years ago in 2021. Let me go down and see if Darren has a picture of it. There's a picture right here. If you're watching at home, it's going to come up. Yeah, right here. This is what the prototype looked like and what they said it was going to look like. And it looked great. But, you know, all these OEMs, whenever they show a prototype, we always like, oh, God, it's never going to look like that. But you know what? Give credit to Kia where credit is due. Let me go scroll all the way back up to the top here. That's what it looks like from the prototype. It's very close. Like, yeah, there's subtle changes. The wheels design of most are changed. But for the most part, they kept true. And they're very similar to Tesla in terms of what the prototype to compared to what comes out is very similar. Because many manufacturers, it's night and day what they show and what they actually announce. So this is the EV9. Now, this is one of, I think, not the only. There's a handful. I mean, obviously, the Model X. What I was going to say, it's one of the only three-row SUVs out there, electric SUVs. Now, of course, we have the Model X that has a three-row, so you can get in the 6 or 7. But I wouldn't consider that a full size SUV. I wouldn't consider that a CUV, a compact utility vehicle. Definitely, that's maybe what the Y is. I'd just consider the X just an SUV, but a full size SUV. Now we're looking at Rivian R1S, and that also has 3 rows. And I think that comes in a 7-seater. I think it's 7-seater, 6 or 7. I don't think they have the captain chairs in a second row. This one is another one that'll, if anything, it's going to compete right up there with the R1S. And I think Rivian ought to look out and ought to look behind their shoulder for this one, because I think this one has a lot to compete up against. Now, it looks beautiful. And I know looks are subjective and stuff like that. But before I go any further, these were just pictures that were released from Korea of what it looks like. It hasn't officially been released, so we still don't have two of the most important things. Well, three, I guess you could say. We don't know the battery size, the pack size, and if it's going to be just one or if it's going to be various pack sizes. So therefore, we don't know the range. So very important. It's an EV, so you need to know the range, right? I think you need to know the range probably more so than you need to know the battery size, but battery size is good to know too. And more important than all that, we need to know the price. We don't know the price yet. So those things are missing. So hopefully they come out soon in terms of, you know, I mean, that's good to know. I think it's going to be up there in terms of price. Will it be expensive as the Rivian R1S? I don't think so. I think that's considered luxury. Mind you, this isn't, I wouldn't say it's luxury, but this isn't far off. Now, I hope Kia is better than the other OEM manufacturers, and I hope, and I'm pretty sure they are. I mean, the EV6 and Hyundai and stuff like that, they seem to have been putting out some decent numbers. But the other manufacturers, as we know, in any other EV other than a Tesla, getting production, getting the batteries produced and getting the batteries in these cars and producing these cars is one of the biggest hurdles for these manufacturers. Kia, not to say that there aren't any level like Tesla for production, but they're doing better. So they're probably somewhere in the middle. So I have high hopes for this EV9. Like I said, looks are subjective. So you may not like it. I think it looks pretty good. I think it was very close to the prototype. Inside looks nice. A white steering wheel, I don't know. I mean, I see all these aftermarket ones for Teslas and stuff like that. A white steering wheel, I know it's not fully white. It's like an off-white. I don't know how long that stays clean. I'm not saying people have dirty hands. I'm not saying I have dirty hands. But lo and behold, after some time, just wear and tear holding the steering wheel for 60,000 miles, you know, stuff happens, right? So it's beautiful inside. Not sure about the choice of colors or steering wheel. I'll show you the biggest, like I said, the third row is a comfortable third row for the videos I've seen. And there's a lot of videos on YouTube in the last 24 hours that different publications have put out and YouTube channels have put out. Go take a look at them. The third row is the reclining seats, third row. So the seats can recline, not all the way back, but they recline a little bit. There's still ample room in the trunk behind the third row when those third row seats are up. They've got their own dedicated, like they should, not like the Model Y. They have dedicated climate there. Window for the third row, it actually is a window. It doesn't go up and down, but it is a window. You actually can see out. It's not like a little quarter panel, like a little 2-inch or 3-inch little thing. It's an actual window. So that's good to see. So it's lots of room, lots of headroom. Apparently, it's any adult 6 feet tall, approximately, can sit back there comfortably. So that's a sign of a good third row SUV, in my opinion. But the biggest thing, the thing that I thought was the coolest, and some people might say, yeah, it's just a novelty, and it may not be on all trims. I get that. I'm going to scroll down to this picture here. Look at this. The second row has captain's chairs. Now, obviously, it's going to come in a 6 and a 7 row a seat configuration. Now, this is only in a 6 seats configurations because the second row has to have captain's chairs for this to happen. But they, as you can see here, they rotate. They swivel. They can turn all the way backing the driver, and now you are fully facing the third row passengers. So you guys can face each other, almost like a limo, I guess, like a conference limo, and they slide back and forth just the same. So that's really cool. And in this picture above it here, you can even swivel it. So I don't know if you can drive like this. With the door closed, I don't know where your feet would go, and I don't know if it slides back enough that the door won't hit your knees. And I don't know if it's good to drive like that for the airbags and stuff like that, for the curtain airbags, but it's just cool to see that you could park it, open up the door, and you can have that second row seat face out the driver, out the door. I think that's cool. I don't know if it's gimmicky. I don't know if it there's limitations and if it doesn't work as well, but just by looking at it, the pictures and the videos, I think it's pretty cool. Really excited to see what it's going to cost. And apparently it tows up to 5,000 pounds. So you know what? There you go. I mean, you'll lose a lot of range when you're towing 5,000 pounds. Don't know what the range is yet, but it's good that it has towing capability. So there you go. That is the Kia EV9. And let me just close that screen out. That wraps it up. A lot of exciting new EVs coming out every day. Not every day, but every now and then, and which is exciting news. The industry, the world has adopted EVs except for Toyota and Honda, but that's okay. They'll learn their lesson eventually as they're now scrambling and catch up. But everyone else is on board and sees the light, and that's good to see. And all these exciting new EVs are coming out, which gives us more choice. I would have said 3 months ago, I would only buy a Tesla. Not to say I don't say it anymore, but I would say I would only buy a Tesla if you want to road trip it, because the infrastructure, the public charging infrastructure here in North America is terrible. Now, with the Magic Dock and Tesla on board to open it up to non-Tesla EVs, I'd say in a couple of years, in the next year, I would have no problem telling anyone, I still wouldn't now, to buy an EV over a gas car. So I would still recommend that. But if someone asked me about traveling and going on road trips 3 months ago, I'd be, how long do you want to go? I'd ask them like a bunch of series of questions and stuff. Now, I'd say, you know what, if you're patient, you can wait another year. And after that year, it'll get better and better incrementally, exponentially. I'd say, yeah, get any kind of EV you want, because you will be able to road trip in it and you won't have any worries in terms of reliability, about charging or anything like that, speeds. It'll all be there. Thanks to Tesla. You can thank Tesla. I hate to say it, and I'm not a fanboy, even though I do like Tesla. I'm not one of these fanboys. like I said earlier, I will say when it's bad, when it's good. But in this case, you can actually thank Tesla for saving the EV industry when it comes to non-Tesla EVs charging and going on long road trips. Now, if you just got the car and you're just doing daily drives, commutes, and stuff like that, where you charging at home works, that's fine. It'll never affect you. But if you want to use your car like anyone else would want to use any of their cars they buy, any of the ICE cars, where you just drive and not have to worry about if when you stop, you're going to be able to charge because it'll work, I think Tesla's rescued the industry in that case. And I, like I said, I know it sounds cliche for me, or it sounds very fanboyish for me to say, but I truly think that it's a big thing that they've done there. So yeah, this is the world we live in now. Like I said before, if you have any questions that you want, let me look down here before I go. Sorry, I've been ignoring you guys a little bit. Side gunner. Oh yeah, for Northern Tesla says the EV9 can be a side gunner. AS said, depending on range, yeah, their guess is between 65 and 70K. Yeah, I could see that. Now, US, I guess you're saying US. Yeah, I could see it being between 65 and 70K for that EV9. I think that's a good slot in terms of where it would fall into price range. But yeah, we need to know the range. There was one shot I saw in one of the, there's an actual video, like a 1 minute a media video that Kia put out for the EV9. And in that shot, on the screen, it was showing the screen, and it's a beautiful screen that they have on there. It had a wrap around just like the EV6 and the Ionix. But I think this one's a little bit bigger. But in one of the shots, it said March 29th. I don't know why they chose that, but I'm wondering, is March 29th, is that a significant date for anything? If it does come out on March 29th, remember, you heard it here first. I just caught that, just a little observation I saw. It may mean absolutely nothing, but it also may mean something. It might be a little Easter egg that Kia threw in there. So that is it for folks. That is it for me. Thank you very much for tuning in, all my troopers that watched the live stream and stuck with me. And I sort of did this last minute. So not fully last minute. Not like I sat down on a computer and went live. No, but I didn't give usually the 48-hour notice like I usually do on social media before I go. It was a little less than that. I was a little bit busy, but I wanted to get this news out because I want to get the podcast going more, and I want to get it more regular. Due to the nature of my lifestyle, I can't do a steady every Wednesday or every Sunday or every other Wednesday. I can't do that. I just don't have that structure in my life right now, unfortunately. So it is very sporadic, and I know that. I apologize for that. But I wanted to get this one out. I think the last one I did was 2 or 3 weeks ago. So, you know, instead of leaving it out every month or every month and a half, or I'm guilty for even having it out for like, or having them, you know, every 2 or 3 months apart. I am guilty for that. So in this case, this one's like 3 weeks. So, which is good. I'll try to do another one in another 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And I just wanted to get this news out. So that's why this one was a little sporadic. I apologize for that. But like I said, because I don't have a set date and stuff like that, just follow me. I'll always put it on Twitter. I don't use Twitter as much as many other people do, but I will put it on Twitter, or I will put it on Facebook in one of my Facebook groups. I will put it and announce when it's coming up. So follow me there. And of course, when I set it up, if you're a follower of this channel, the Regen channel here on YouTube, you'll see it pop up. If you hit the bell notification, if you haven't already, or if you're listening to this on the audio podcast in your car or something, when you get a chance, search for the Regen Nation channel on YouTube. Subscribe if you haven't. Hit the little bell notification, and that'll tell you when it's coming up. YouTube will give you a little notification, and that'll tell you when it's coming up. Anyways, folks, I'll get out of here, because even though I want to do it to 1 hour, it's now an hour and 11 minutes, going on an hour and 12 minutes, and I'm still talking. So thanks for coming on. Thanks for joining me, folks. And we will see you here on the next one. Take care. Bye-bye.